Express yourself. Express yourself. You don't never need help from nobody else. All you got to do now, express yourself. Whatever you do, do it good. Whatever you do, 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 Lord, Lord, do it good. All right. It's not what you look like when you're doing what you're doing. It's what you're doing when you're doing what you look like you're doing. Express yourself. Express yourself.
All right. Welcome back to Express Yourself. We had some technical difficulties, so got a late start. But this is Express Yourself, your weekly update, each and every Friday afternoon here on KD&K from 4 to 5 with the latest and greatest on all the creative happenings up and down the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. I'm your host this week, Brian Colley, and I work with the Carbondale Creative District. Coming up today, we've got an interview with pastel artist Doug Graybeal, whose solo landscape show, Still Here, opens tonight at the Art Base in Basalt. After that, we'll have a conversation with Megan Jansen of Dance Initiative, with Helenius J. Wilkins, who is a Boulder-based dancer, giving a free artist talk and some workshops next weekend. The artist talk is called The Dance of Social Justice. But right now, in the studio, I need to get them hooked up, actually. One moment. Now I've got them on here. In the studio, I've got Nori Pau, and on Zoom, why don't I just let you all introduce yourselves? Are you there? Hello, and I'm so excited to have you all because I wasn't here for the opening of your show, and here we are together, a few weeks after the opening, which was September 17th. You all have a three-person show called The Poetics of Sculpture, and why don't we just kind of go around the room in real life and virtually to just say who you are and what is your art background and what kind of works did you have in this show. Being a radio show, it's nice for people listening to kind of get a visual description. Why don't we start with Leah, who kind of came up with a proposal.
My name is Leah Agutter. I am a woodworker and sculptor. I work at Anderson Ranch Art Center as the studio coordinator for digital fabrication. I got interested in proposing this show when we were in lockdown in March of 2020, and was reading a book called Revolution in the Making, about abstract sculpture by women and kind of the history and lineage. And so the work that I have exhibited are a few sculptures, mostly made out of wood. I take three scans of rocks, and then I carve them on the CNC router at Anderson Ranch out of different species of wood, and kind of cut those up and make different compositions out of the fragments of the rock. So hopefully that paints a little bit of a picture for you all.
Yeah, that's great. That's perfect. Louise, let's hear what you've got.
So I'm Louise. I also work at Anderson Ranch. I'm the studio coordinator for the ceramics department. And I'm originally from Brazil, from Sao Paulo, but I've been in U.S. for 9 years and at the ranch in this position for 3 years now. The work I have in the show, I have three different bodies of work. I'm going to try to describe them. So one is three kind of, I would maybe call them tiles. They're on the wall. They're maybe 10 by 10 with a lot of finger marks and gestures recorded in the clay. And I cover those tiles with encaustic. So there's a kind of depth that it's created with the encaustic that is covering the whole tile and the texture. Mm-hmm. Those works are called Terra Nebulosa, which in English would mean, what does it mean? Hazy earth. I'm so sorry. I had a moment here. I have another body of work, which is, it's about process. So I, when I'm working in the studio, I often recognize parts of the process and I just freeze. So let's say I'm wedging clay and then that wedge just became super beautiful to me and I just freeze that moment and let the clay be. And I fire those and I've been collecting parts of my process for years now. And some of the work in the show, it's compositions with those parts. And then I have a third body of work that is on the floor of the gallery. It's a plinth that I covered with dirt and glue and has all this textural quality that the earth is cracking and different. Actually, there's a lot of different textures in that plinth. And on top of the plinth, I have a series of ceramic pieces that they are slices from the same body of clay. Like, so I sliced the clay very thinly and I covered each one of those kind of tiles again with, so the way this work came to be, I'm sorry, it's just hard to articulate, but I had like five different glazes and slips that I used in different combinations to cover each tile. So one tile, I put a slip first and then this glaze and then that glaze. And then the second tile is a different order of how I layer the materials. And when they go through the kiln, they really behave different when they come out. The outcome is very different. So I'm trying to talk about the environment and how we receive information and how we are formed through this information, that, you know, the layers of information. How identity is built in a way. So that's what interests me in that work.
Thanks, Louise. And Nori's here in the studio with me. Tell me about your work, please.
Hello, everyone. The work that I have in the show, actually, I have four pieces, one photograph that's kind of outside of the gallery space, and the work that's actually kind of in communication with Lou and Leah's work inside the space. It's all related. It starts with a video piece that's projected onto the wall. I shot that during when we were all sheltering, so in April 2020, about the time that we put together the proposal. And it's from a series that I've done. It's the third video in the series. The series is titled I Am Here, and it's kind of about, I guess, being out. The other two pieces are in the landscape, but this one was inside my home, being there and maybe trying to communicate to those that are outside. And so I take, it's an animation shot. I'm using porcelain clay and I'm slowly covering my window. So what you see in the video, since we're on radio, I'm describing this.
Good.
I wouldn't normally do that.
Perfect.
What you see is my window, the view that I have as I'm looking out, and as time is passing and people are going in and out of their cars and kids are playing in the grassy area outside my house, and there's snow and it's melting, and I slowly take the porcelain and cover up the window so it's completely blacked out. And then as the porcelain dries, it cracks and you start to see light that comes through. And then the porcelain slowly gets removed and you're back just looking at a window that's now been altered because there's a haze over it from where the clay had resided before. Mm-hmm. And so the other piece that is in the same area as the window, there's a window in the gallery space. And so I really when I was shooting the video, I had the experience of what you see through the camera, and I had the experience of me being in the space and watching the light come through the cracks and kind of make light patterns on the wall. So there's a window in the gallery that then I actually covered in porcelain as well. One, it blocks, helps to block the light so the video projection can be seen more clearly. And then it also, what I was hoping is to bring the viewer into the experience that I was having. Mm-hmm. And that piece is titled, You Are Here, is you're experiencing that. And then I took the porcelain shards from the window video, and I worked with a local glass studio, Spiral Lions Glass.
Oh, yeah.
Jackie and TJ, I worked with them. And we took shards of the porcelain and embedded them into a glass sphere that I like to call my crystal ball. And that piece is also in the show. The title of that piece is It's the Cracks, Not the Dream.
Oh, wow. So in this show, I feel like there's all kinds of media going on. You've got Leah's CNC routed wood pieces hanging on the wall, Louise's, you know, clay with encaustic sculptures and pieces on the wall as well, and then Nori's, you know, video, the film, and then also photo on the outside of the gallery, plus the ceramic porcelain all along the window, which is just slowly cracking as the show goes along. And these are all sculptural elements. And I wonder if you can talk, since the show is called The Poetics of Sculpture, how has that sort of informed, you know, the way you went about creating works for this show? It's not a typical sculpture show where you just have pieces sitting on pedestals around the room. This really kind of pushes what that media is. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I feel like maybe Nori should address it because, well, I mean, just because your works are, I would say, the most typically unlike traditional sculpture.
Yes, that this is true. I think this is how I think about it. I don't know if Lou and Leah, we've maybe talked about this a little bit, but I think about the way that I approach working in material is, even if it's a photograph, a video, for me, it's a three-dimensional process where my hands are touching the material. Mm-hmm. And I think in my work, I consider myself a collaborator with whatever material that I choose.
Oh, that's interesting.
And yeah, it really does, the piece unfolds as I'm working with the material. The material talks to me in a certain way, and I take a lot of turns and usually end up in a place that I never even tried to imagine in the first place because I knew it was going to be something else. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean with collaborating. Mm-hmm. And I think that both Leah and Lou also have a similar conversation with the materials that they're working with. I think there's a sensibility and a touch and almost like an honoring of the material that is important for us to bring to light and to show. Mm-hmm. It's like an honesty. That's mm-hmm. That's how I think of it.
Wow. That's a cool idea. And I like seeing all the process too.
I just want to add that like all the works that we have in the gallery, they're the materials themselves. So you can see the wood in Leah's work, and you can see the glass, and you can see the raw clay, and you can see the ceramic and the dirt. So it's everything. That's the honesty that Nora is talking about, which I think we all have in our process. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of the line from the essay for which the show is named that really, I would say, like grabbed us all is conscious manipulation of matter and space. Hmm. So that really speaks to what Nora is saying about like the process, I would say.
Yeah, I feel like that's evident in all three of your works. Just the hand touch. I mean, there is the CNC routed pieces, but then there's a sculpture that you have, Leah, in the middle of the second room that looks more like a hand carved sort of thing with you know, you can see the touch of the artist in that piece and a lot of the other pieces in the room. Can you talk about also, this is a three woman show. How did that help? You know, how was that important as you formed the proposal for this show?
Well, I think it, I mean, it was a lot about the book that I was reading and how, you know, women have been making creative sculpture and art for centuries, but haven't gotten the recognition that men have and have, you know, been doing the same sorts of things that men have been doing, and even probably giving men ideas, but just aren't in the spotlight. And so we really wanted to focus on women artists and kind of do what we could to contribute to the canon of women making abstract sculpture.
What she said.
No, that's great. I remember when you first sent the proposal, we didn't have like all the artists set. And I wonder, I know there was one other artist he had reached out to, but it feels like this valley, there's so many creative people. It'd be easy to find folks to make poetic sculpture with you. Was that a challenge to put this group together? Or I know you already know each other so well, probably even before proposing this show, so maybe it was not a difficult thing.
I think it was the easiest proposal I've ever been a part of. Basically, Leah was like, do you think you guys would be interested? And we read the essay and we're like, yeah, let's do it.
That's so great.
And we've all admire each other's work. Our work visually is different and we approach things slightly different. But when you're in the space, and hopefully you guys listening will come to the show.
Please come.
When you're in this space, there's so many little details. Like, you know, there'll be, you know, the cracking on Lou's sculpture on the floor, and you know, in the next room you see the window with the cracks, and you see kind of the beautifully sanded piece that Leah has in the first room, and it is like reminiscent of the glass sphere, and there's a very tactile quality that I think we all have in our work, and it kind of communicates on its own. We all pretty much made what we wanted to make and then showed it to each other, and and then we put it in the space. It wasn't a lot of, there wasn't a lot of like,
curation.
Yeah, it just curated itself.
Yeah.
So a few weeks before the show, we had to install the show. We started doing studio visits to see what was going on in each one's studio.
Oh, yeah. Smart.
And Nori was the first one, and she showed us the video. And suddenly, like when she was talking about the video, I was like, oh my God, is it everything to do with my wall pieces? And we just start having this connections that that's what I'm going to show. And we have a dialogue happening. And same with Leah, like when she slices the pieces, like even though they're CNC routed, yeah, she manipulates them. It's not just like the plank, you know, the piece of wood that was in the machine. She cuts them, she sends them, she like reattach them in different order. So there's all like this pieces that make the whole, and we all like Nora's ball is this ball that is full of fragments inside and shattered, put together. It's just like all this, I don't know, we're all working with pieces and process in the whole, I think.
And it's cool how you are kind of connected through Anderson Ranch. Can you talk a little bit about that connection? Nori, you are a resident and artist in residence there for a little bit?
I was a resident artist there twice, most recently in 2017. And Lou had been a resident and also worked there prior, but she wasn't there when I was there. But that's how Leah and I first met, because Leah was an intern.
Oh, great.
And then, and then when I moved back here in September 2019, then that's when I met Lou. But I feel like Lou and I have been friends and known each other for years, because it's like we have so many mutual friends in common, and instantly just were drawn to each other. Mm-hmm. And Leah too, even though I didn't know who she was at all, we kind of really became friends quite naturally. That place brings people together.
It does. I've had the fortune to take some classes there. And just like the space that they provide and the tools that you have access to, just an amazing opportunity for anyone thinking about going up there. And that kind of comes out in the work. I feel like just your level of quality for each of you, all three of you, just the craftsmanship and the quality of your work, such a high level. When you walk in the room, it almost feels like one artist just because of that professionalism and the way you've presented the work. So I'm hopeful people will come check it out. Also because the space changes slowly over time because of this piece on the wall, the porcelain piece. Before we wrap up, anything you want to give a shout out to or make sure people know about if it's when they come, because it's not an if.
Yeah. When.
When.
Come see it. And if you have questions, let us know. We all live and work in the area.
That's true. These are all local artists. So we've got artist talks from them from the opening that will be on our website. And we also have a 360 virtual tour. If you live far, far away and can't see it in person, go to carbondalearts.com and check out the virtual tour. Well worth taking. Well, thank you so much for your time. Great seeing you all via Zoom and in person. And this show is up through October 29th. So lots of time. It's open weekdays, 9 to 5, and Saturdays, 10 to 2. So no excuses out there. Go check it out.
Awesome. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Thanks,
all.
Brian. Thank you.
Thanks to those artists for talking with us. Go check out that show. It's not to be missed. Next up, I got to sit down with Doug Grabiel, who's a local pastel artist. He's got a solo show called Still Here, which opens this evening at the Art Base in Basalt from 5 to 7. So if you're Mid-Valley, why not stop by for a little local show? Here's Doug.
Hi, this is Doug Grabiel. Brian, appreciate the opportunity to chat with you, the folks on KDNK.
Of course.
I've got a show upcoming at the Art Base in Basalt. Show is titled Still Here. The show is about all the different strong features we have in our value that we see through the years that never change. But our reference of change is about the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So I've worked to capture those special moments, the change, the seasons, the things that we can acknowledge and truly see of these features. So it's a great show. It is running till December 3rd. It is open from Tuesday through Saturday from 11 to 5, so swing by.
Wow. And it's opening tonight.
Yes, it's opening tonight from 5 to 7, so swing on by.
That's great, and you'll be there to say hi for folks to meet you.
I will be there in person and happy to answer questions, and I hope people enjoy the show and find some of their own memories and fondness of the different spots.
And for those folks who aren't familiar with your work, and this is a radio show, so I wonder if you wouldn't mind telling folks like what your medium is and what kind of, you know, what does it look like when they walk in the gallery space?
Yeah, it looks fabulous.
Yes.
So I'm a retired architect, so I've drawn all my life. So, you know, I've had to take 3D into 2D, which is what we as artists do. So a majority of my paintings are watercolor underpaintings where I have set the tone and the value and basically the shapes with watercolor, and then come back with pastel to add the detail. And sometimes the watercolor underpainting may be a complementary or, you know, contrasting color, you know, which gives it a little more spark.
Do a lot of people do that?
More and more people are doing it, and a lot of pastel artists will use watercolor, but they also will use pastel, do a pastel underpainting just to get shapes and form, and they'll take rubbing alcohol to it. And what that does is it sets the pigment permanently into your paper. So if you draw on top of it, you're not mixing the colors, therefore creating ugly browns or, you know, mud.
Wow.
Yeah, so it really helps to, give you, within the same value, difference in colors and add a little sparkle to the paintings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I haven't really heard about that, doing, complementary color below. I know that's kind of how they do underpainting in oils, but I guess it would be the same principle, using kind of the opposite color, for those who don't know what a complementary color is. So
yeah, I find it works really well for when you got dense evergreen forest they're trying to portray.
So you'd have a green forest, but underneath you'd paint like a red background.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
And it just kind of pops.
And it gives it a little bit of a zing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. How do you go about choosing the locations? Were you out on location for a lot of these works?
A lot of them. I'd say probably half of them I painted maybe on site or started on site. And then, obviously winter scenes are a little hard on the fingertips. So, work with some photos. But I much rather prefer to paint outdoors because you can really see truer colors, particularly in shadows. You know, a camera will turn a shadow all black. Being there, you can see the reflections of what's underneath and see the colors better. So it's just better. But your window also is like a 3-hour window before your light starts changing too much. So
right. Do you try and get there in the morning?
Yeah, and I prefer morning and afternoon. You get better and stronger shadows. And I have gone back to the same location the next morning to finish something off. Spent 2 days on a site, a couple hours each day.
Wow. That's so cool. You get to go out on locations of these spots. Whereabouts did you get to go?
So I went up to Cow Camp at Capitol.
Uh-huh.
Went down the ditch trail and painted some of Capitol that way. I started one of Sopris on 133 into the traffic got me, and I decided I better to quit. I painted a really nice fall harvest scene where, they were harvesting and the fields had been mowed down and Sopris in the background. So that was fun. And I've done a couple where I started at the Roaring Fork and Woody Creek in the wintertime. I've done a couple on the Roaring Fork River in the spring where I really just focused in on the rocks and the depth of the water. And that was actually really a good example of, I painted an underpainting in watercolor, so I got the depth of the water.
Oh, yeah.
Then the pastel is the bubbles and the froth on the surface of the water and the rocks, and it worked out incredibly well. It gives it some nice depth. I was very pleased.
Yeah, that's a cool idea and good use of mixed media.
Yeah, definitely a good way to do it.
What does it look like when you're out on location? What kind of things do you bring with you? I've done some on location, like watercolor painting, but then it's different with all the pastels. And
yeah, you know, with pastels, you know, you obviously, I got a box that, you know, it's got like 250 pastels
wow.
in it. So I set it up on a stand, you know, like your tripod, and bungee cord it in.
Okay.
I've had that fall over, and it's no fun picking up broken pastels on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's windy, I'll anchor, you know, take some rope and anchor a rock and hold the whole thing down.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got a almost like a music stand element that you put on the top of it that you tape your pastel boards to. So I use a pastel paper that's pre-mounted on boards, or I mount it myself, so I've got a really hard surface. Mm-hmm. And that works really well, particularly when you're doing undercolor, you know, watercolor painting, because the watercolor will warp the paper
right.
unless you've got it adhered down with some strong stuff. So.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's just, I can just see you out there in the elements, because we did a show together not
you have
long
seen
ago.
Me out there in the elements.
But there's like more to the show. It's not just about, you know, landscapes. It's about, you know, capturing the permanence. You know, there's a quote on the website at theartbase.org about this show. And
yeah.
Talk about the permanence of the features in our valley that will continue through time, you know,
right.
as compared to the people that live there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, our stay here is short. And you look at all the peaks, you know, like Capitol, it's been there from the day of the pioneers and earlier, and our only reference is the change of season. So I've taken Capon and Sopris particularly and done them in the four different seasons, be it the first snow, be it a oncoming thunderstorm, be it a harvest, be it in the warmth of the summer, just to show the difference. And I've done most of them from different perspectives, too, so they're not always from the same perspective.
Okay.
So that's the main series of the paintings, but I also have on an adjacent wall a series of the Roaring Fork River and other surrounding rivers in different seasons, so iced over or covered in snow. So there's a good variety of work.
Yeah. I got to walk by yesterday. I think the doors were closed, but just to take a peek in, and it was just a reminder of how lucky we are to get to live in such a beautiful valley with so many mountains and rivers and everything that you've captured so well. So.
Yeah, well, we're so fortunate, and I hope people find the paintings of, I remember that moment, or that reminds me of, or I've been there. You know, it's to provoke memories that we, you know, we all have, and how fortunate we are to be here.
Sure. And if folks look at, like, old photos of Mount Sopris, which I have found, like, through the Historical Society, the mountain's the same, you know? The town is like, you know, just starting out, but this Mount Sopris, you know, it just exactly what you're saying, just the grandeur of all these permanent features in our valley through time, just they're still there.
They're still there, and they will always be there.
Well, I hope folks will get a chance to check out the show. Do you have an artist talk at the opening, or is that separate?
No, I recorded an artist talk, which will be up on their website here shortly, which we go in and cover some various things about the show, touch on items that we have touched on here and expand on some of those.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a 20-minute short little film that will be up on their website here shortly.
Okay, so that's theartbase.org. And they're located kind of in a new spot. They've had a couple openings already, but it's at 174 Midland Avenue in Basalt, right downtown. And so hopefully you'll get to go say hi to Doug tonight from, what time is it again?
5 to 7.
5 to 7, perfect. Great. Well, good luck with it, Doug. Thanks so much for taking time to talk about what you do.
Well, Brian, thank you for the opportunity, and hope to catch you there.
You are tuned in to KDNK Carbondale, Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. The time is 4:38 on the nose, and you are tuned in to Express Yourself. Next up, we have a conversation with Megan Jansen, who is the Executive Director of Dance Initiative, who talks with Hellenius J. Wilkins from Boulder, Colorado, who is returning to Carbondale next weekend for a series of dance workshops and an artist talk Friday evening entitled The Dance of Social Justice. Here is their conversation.
Welcome, everyone. This is Megan Jansen from Dance Initiative. And on the line with me, I have the wonderful Hellenius J. Wilkins. He's calling in today from Boulder, Colorado. Hi, Hellenius. How are you?
Hi, Megan, and hello to everyone. I am well. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Pleasure to be here today.
Thank you for joining us. It's so wonderful to chat with you. Hellenius is on his way to us to the Roaring Fork Valley next weekend. He'll be here October 15, 16, and 17 with his project partner, A. Ryder Turner. They are working on a massive, really important, really wonderful multi-year, multi-state project called the Conversation Series, Stitching the Geopolitical Quilt to Rebody Belonging. And Hellenius is gracious enough to do some events with us on the path towards fulfilling this major project. So he's going to be with us at the launch pad, engaging with our community, doing an artist talk, a demo, a conversation, and a movement workshop. So we're going to dive into all of that. But first, Hellenius, I just want to chat with you a little bit so people can get more of a sense of kind of who you are and what you're up to. You are a choreographer, a dancer, performer, an educator at CU Boulder, an activist, an award winner. What else? What else can we throw in the mix?
I know, right? All the labels. It's so funny to hear them because on one hand, I'm like, yep, all of that is true. And then on the other hand, I'm like, I don't like labels so much. And I just want to lean into just, you know, being an artist who can do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
But I think what you've offered sums up pretty much ways in which I identify and ways in which my work, I show up through my work. I probably would add into the full curator. And that's because I'm really interested in creating spaces for disparate bodies, disparate communities to engage. And I've been on a path for a long period of time in terms of my career that has been rooted in building community and navigating what does it mean to belong, which is a high point in this new project that I'm working on.
Mm. And you also just recently won the, let's see, My Black Colorado People's Choice Award. Is that right?
Correct. Correct. Thank you so much. Yes.
Yes. Congratulations.
That's exciting.
Say a little bit about that. About that award.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So I have just a little bit to offer. I was nominated, and I don't know by whom, which mm-hmm. makes it even more wonderful in that sense that there are individuals in the world who are recognizing what I'm doing through my platforms and through my art. And it is an award that is to celebrate individuals who model, who are strong models for their communities and strong models for the work in which they do. So I feel very fortunate to be celebrated as an African-American male who is making impactful change in the Colorado state.
Wonderful. That's really cool. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. And just a little bit about your dance career. It's also not the easiest thing probably to sum up.
How much time do we have again? There is a short way. It's funny because that question has been coming up quite a bit recently. Mm-hmm. And as I'm on the journey of activating the conversation series, Stitching the Geopolitical Quilt to Rebody Belonging, and all of my artist talks, either through the talk itself or in the Q&A section of the artist talk, it comes up, how did you start dancing? You know, or when did you first know you wanted to become a dancer? So it's coming up. So I point myself into three directions when I try to answer that question. And one is that I am one of those individuals who, as a child, saw a PBS special that featured the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. And I remember very specifically in that documentary, Mr. Alvin Ailey introduced himself by saying, "Hi, I'm Alvin Ailey, and I'm a choreographer," and that immediately resonated with me. And that was actually the first time I was able to see and experience Revelations, which is his significant work. Mm-hmm. The second thing I'll point to is that growing up, I was a very shy kid who's afraid of people, and my way of communicating was always through movement, be it scurrying away from people and hiding or finding ways to just navigate space. And stories by my family members are often told of me moving quite fast in all the ways in which I opted to move. Mm. And then the third thing I'll point to in terms of my career, it's one where I come to dance as a calling. And I feel fortunate that I was able to recognize the calling early in my life, and I've been on the path ever since. And so although I did not verbally start to articulate and start to physically train intensely in dance until much later in my life, end of high school and beginning of college, I was always reading about dance. I was always interested in movement. I feel like a part of my training was happening through sports, happening through martial arts, happening through other ways of just engaging with my body and orienting around my body. Mm-hmm. And those were possibly the beginnings of me understanding myself as a mover. High Point Edgeworks Dance Theater, which is a company I founded and artistically directed for 13 years in Washington, D.C. Mm. It's an all-male dance company, and it was the first of its kind in Washington, D.C. There was a significant body of work, and the company was primarily of African-American men, and it changed the landscape of how many thought about men in dance. Mm-hmm. And it also contributed to that landscape.
Wow. Quite a contribution, really.
Yeah.
When did this, I'm sure it's been happening over a lot of different years, but when did the seed kind of form for this to become what it currently is right now?
Yeah. I talk in threes.
Great.
So there are three anchors. And there are probably more, but there are three solid anchors to respond to that question. One is last summer, last year, and the uprisings. Mm-hmm. The racial uprisings caused me to fear walking in public. And usually I meet adversity by actioning. And so in this moment of felt like numbness and not being able to move, I started to search deep within to figure out what was my answer to that, or what would be my response to that, and what is it that I really wanted to see. So that was a big part. And in that thinking, it led me to walking again up to 16 miles a day as a meditation. And as a way to unlearn fear. And that walking practice is what led me to the conversation series, seeing it as a practice, seeing it as a way to stitch lives back together, seeing it as a way to unlearn fear by embracing getting to know and understand and create spaces for listening. The second thing I'll say is, as a seed for this project, is my relationship with A. Ryder Turner. The A stands for Avery. We started working together a little bit over three years ago. And I first met Ryder while he was a graduate student in our MFA program here at CU Boulder. And I invited him to be a part of a project, and in the course of working on that project, which was about a two-year process, we started to build an artistic relationship. And at the end of that project, I found myself realizing that there was more work for us to do, that that wasn't the end point. So it set us on a course that led us to this work. The third thing I'll say is that the greater arc of my career, as I mentioned before, has been rooted in community and belonging. And it's been an ongoing question that has not necessarily been solved. And it's not that I'm striving to solve, but I am striving to find a way to understand, and I'm striving to find a way to engage others in the process of understanding what it means to belong, or what it could mean to belong, or what we are dreaming of as belonging.
And the path for this project is multi-tiered, with conversations and movement workshops and talks, artist talks and demonstrations. Can you speak a little bit about the kind of models that are unfolding?
Beautiful question. So what's one of the things that's very unique about this project, it requires working in and with communities. So it is not a project where I go into the studio and dream up all the things I want to make and all the moves I want to create and stitch them together and then go out and present them to the world. It's actually more dependent upon how I'm able to engage with various communities, and the content comes from the conversations held with communities. There will be four media outcomes for the conversation series, Stitching the Geopolitical Quilt to Rebody Belonging, and those outcomes are new choreographies, a feature-length documentary film, a digital humanities archive, and as a result of the ways in which I'm working in and with community, a JEDI, Justice, Equity, Diversity, Accessibility, and Inclusion toy kit will be created and made available for the public in as tied to the Digital Humanities Archives. The components for then engaging the communities are through some of the things you just mentioned, artist talks, belonging conversations. These conversations are meant to be intimate discussions that bring together intergenerational, disparate members of communities together to engage in conversations and draw to the center the marginalized stories and individuals' connections to the land on which they live. There will also be embodied workshops, and these workshops will be for intergenerational members of various communities as well, and will be additional resources for providing, simulating conversation and providing exchange, and also yielding content that Ryder and myself will be responsive to in the way of creating artistic content. My belief is that there is no social justice unless there is the body. The body's at the center of it. And what we're trying to bring attention to is how we are orienting to what we believe we know, what we know, and what we don't know, and how can we reorient around the stories that are lesser known or that have been forgotten or have been erased.
And you're traveling across the country.
Yes. To do this project, it requires traveling to all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and all five inhabited territories to create a section of the work. In a literal sense, I am really striving, or an aspect of this project is to stitch our country back together again. in a time where we have shifted into extreme divisiveness, and to action, stitching our lives back together again through understanding and through raising awareness.
We're just about out of time. And so I want to make sure everybody knows in the Valley that they are invited to come hang out with Hellenius and Writer and Dance Initiative. All these events are free. They're all at the Launch Pad. And Friday we are doing the Dance of Social Justice Artist Talk. And I think they're going to do a little performance demo, 6 to 7:30. Saturday at the Launch Pad is the Belonging Conversation with Hellenius, led by Hellenius. And that's from 3 to 5. And that is an RSVP. You can go to the website to RSVP and learn more. And then Sunday 17th, we have a movement workshop with Writer, Illuminating Your Voice, and that's the Launch Pad from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. I'm so excited about all of this, and there's so much more to learn here and so much more to say and so much more to listen to. So my advice is come spend time with us and get to know Hellenius and Writer and explore all of these concepts with some patience and care, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you think people should know before we hop off?
The doors are wide open, sort of echo what you said. And I'm seeing this as a beginning step. The vision is to return and continue to engage the community over a longer period of time.
Thank you, Megan and Hellenius. You're tuned in to Express Yourself. We're in our final minute or so. I wanted to just let you know about a few other things happening around the Valley coming up soon. Takah, the arts campus at Willits, presents Pumpkin Jazz, showcasing world-class jazz performances throughout Willits and Basalt tonight from 5 through the evening. Thunder River Theater Company presents the play Men on Boats at 7:30 p.m. with an all-women cast. 10 explorers, 4 boats, 1 Grand Canyon, the true-ish story or history of John Wesley Powell's 1869 expedition to chart the Colorado River continues through October 17th, Thursday through Sundays. And I think this is just in time for Halloween season. The Newcastle Gardens are offering a garlic tasting and a class tomorrow at 10 a.m. More at newcastlegardens.com. That sounds awesome. Also tomorrow, Anderson Ranch Art Center hosts a National Hispanic Heritage Month celebration from 4:30 to 7 p.m. Free food, music, dancing, games, and art activities for the whole family. Live art installation by Nabil Gonzalez, a Latinx artist based in El Paso. Catered by Ashikawa Senior Taco Show, and dancing will be led by the Valley's own Mezcla Socials Dance. Thanks so much for tuning in to Express Yourself. Up next is The Pulse of the Planet.